In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading this week's show. And a big thanks to our sponsors who help keep this show free for you to listen to every single week.
From coast to coast and border to border, it's Tailgate Radio.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation, the Grill Sergeant John Largent. Thank you for downloading episode number 92, blasting the show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. We've got a great show for you. We have our first three-time guest, the sports brat, Jess Saraceno. She is going to be in the house, and we are excited to have her on the show this week because she is so knowledgeable about all things sports, all things food and fashion. And I'm excited that she is now a Texan. She has moved to Texas. So we've got a little bit of that to talk about. But I'm really excited to have her on the show because she is one of my favorite guests every time she is on. And that's why she's been on the show three times. So we're excited to have the sports brat, Jess Saraceno. She'll be joining us after the first break. I want to remind everybody that you can join us. You can be a part of this virtual tailgate party by heading over to our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also join us, our Twitter family. Yes, we have a family at Twitter, at Tailgate Radio. I think it's over 50,000 strong now. And you guys are really making it fun for me because when I mentioned that we were going to be doing another episode of the mean tweets that we blatantly ripped off from Jimmy Kimmel, you guys have really been laying it in. I appreciate it. Don't pull your punches. Lay it in. And we will be reading some of those mean tweets probably next week. Probably next week we will do that, and it will be fun. I love it. I have very thick skin. I don't know what that means, but I have very thick skin. And so you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to make me cry. I won't do it. This has been a very interesting week in sports. We're going to talk to Jess Saraceno about a number of topics, including the recent passing of legendary coach at the University of Tennessee, Pat Summitt. And also we're going to talk about the Chanticleers. Tweet me at Tailgate Radio if you know what a Chanticleer is. And if you do, you're probably a baseball fan. And we're going to talk about the City of Champions, Cleveland, Ohio. And then the shame of Cleveland, Johnny Manziel. We'll be talking about that as well this week with Jess Saraceno. One of the things that's really interesting about this time of year here at Tailgate Radio is that, first of all, it is hot. It's hot all over the place. And one of the things that I like to do is during this time of year, I like to try new recipes. I like to cook new things. I like to get away from the normal that I do during football season, which is beef and steak and all kinds of red meat. And I have really been engaged in grilling fish. And I can tell you, mahi tuna. Or ahi tuna? Is it ahi tuna? Ahi tuna and mahi-mahi are quickly moving up my list. They're very good, and I've tried some different ways to perfect that on the grill. But the problem is, it's so damn hot outside that it's very difficult to do that in the afternoon in South Texas with temperatures in the mid to high 90s with a grill blasting at 450 degrees charcoal in the house. And it is just I have caught myself more times than not dancing around in the backyard because some part of my body has been in contact with an inordinate amount of heat, whether it was a combination of the outside atmosphere and the grill temperature combined. But I look like an idiot out there. But I love the process. And another thing associated with grilling is I have been spending a lot of time with my Carson Rodizio. Blake Carson, and this is not a paid advertisement, by the way. Blake Carson is the inventor of the Carson Rodizio, and he is a chef that lives in Memphis, Tennessee, but he grew up and spent a lot of time in Brazil, and so he has incorporated that Brazilian steakhouse mentality with his Carson Rodizio. Check it out, Carson, RODIZIO.com. And once you take a look at it, you're going to want to get your hands on it. I've got mine, and it's an amazing tool. And it's allowing me to cook fish, to cook some wild game, and to do some other things that I normally don't do this time of year. And it's a really, really cool grilling accessory. And I don't even want to call it an accessory. It's almost a grilling essential. And Blake is a fantastic guy. And go support him. I mean, he started this with a Kickstarter campaign and is growing his business. He's got a new beautiful showroom in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. And the next time you're in that area, look up Carson Rodizio. So there's my unsolicited testimonial for Blake and his great company. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the sports brat, Jess Saraceno. She is a one of a kind and really one of my favorite guests, as I mentioned earlier. We'll have her on this week's episode of Tailgate Radio after the break. But first,
there's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded in the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold. But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear. One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer the town had ever tasted. The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as the Banquet Beer. Coors, the Banquet Beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
This is ring announcer Jeff Houston. Tailgate Radio.
And welcome back to Tailgate Radio, the Grill Sergeant John Largent, and I am so excited to have my guest this week. She doesn't know this, but she has won an award. She is the first 3-time guest on Tailgate Radio. I am talking about none other than the sports brat herself, Jess Saraceno. Jess, welcome back to Tailgate Radio.
What an introduction. I had no idea I was winning an award tonight.
Absolutely. It is in the mail and on the way.
Amazing. I didn't even prepare a speech, but I'm sure I can help with something.
Well, you know, I hate to start on a somber note, but I do want to mention that we lost one of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball this week, Pat Summitt, the longtime coach of the University of Tennessee. Quick story, I met her. I was recording a Food Network special at the University of Tennessee with, of all people, Bobby Flay and Paula Deen. And the one of the judges on the panel with me was the athletic director at Tennessee, and she said, "I want you to come meet Coach Summitt." And I was like awestruck because she is obviously the most winningest coach in all of basketball, men or women's, over 1,000 victories. Mm-hmm. Pat Summitt gave me an hour tour of the arena of her office and just sat there and talked to me like I was a somebody. She could have been doing a million other things, and she was so hospitable And I will never forget that. And I am so sad to see her gone, because she was a true leader, coach, visionary, and wanted to know what you thought about, if you have any thoughts on Pat Summitt, what she meant to women's basketball and basketball in general, and and what kind of legacy you think she's going to leave and has left.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I thought it was, you know, definitely a loss in the sports community, and I think in our society in general, to lose a person of her character. I think what's really unique about her is that her on-court performance matched her off-the-court, kind of what you just alluded to. I never got to meet her or have an interaction, but I did, you know, my days back at ESPN in the beginning, we got so lucky to do it. Now they have the SEC all the time, but back in the day, we didn't have the SEC contract, so we got to do games like every once in a while, and getting to do like a Lady Vols game was like a big deal. And just because she was so willing to give interviews, was so willing to kind of let us behind the scenes and whatnot, and she was real easy to work with. But I think, you know, as you go through and you see all of the great people in the industry, and then those who aren't even in sports, but just like paying homage to her and reciting her quotes and famous things, I think it absolutely pays tribute to the legacy that she's left behind. Both, because it wasn't always about, I think her message was that it wasn't just about winning, but what you can see in her character behind it is, I think, why she was so successful. Like, you look at the letter she wrote to some of her recruits, like, you just could tell she cared. And I think that's what is really cool about sports, is sometimes we get so caught up in, we have to win, but when you like, can really tell someone's like invested, and it's just more about being a good person and doing the right thing and like the beauty of the game and not just like cheating to get there, I think that's just so respectable. And I think that we absolutely lost such a legend, and I think what we'll see is that her legacy will definitely live on and continue to inspire a lot of people, men and women alike, moving forward.
Yeah, I couldn't say it any better, and she will be missed, and I really hold that one afternoon is really one of my highlights of my life. She was just such a quality person, and as you said, more than a coach, she was just a great human being.
She's for sure one of my, like, 10 people I would want to have at a dinner party, you know, so I think that's so awesome that you're so lucky to get to spend the time with her.
Yeah, and her office was like a museum. It was really an amazing place. So let's switch gears, and I want you to tell me what a Chanticleer is. Do you know what a Chanticleer is, or a Chanticleer?
So I do. Because somehow in my weird walk of life, okay, so I played soccer at the University of Colorado in Boulder when we were in the Big 12 back in the day. And I've been, you know, thanks to the glories of social media, my former assistant coach has been, you know, trying to rally the troops, saying, if you've never heard of us, root for us. Like, we'd love to have your eyeballs on, like watching and cheering and prayers and all this. And I'm thinking, Paul, what are you talking about? And now, so of course, now I know who they are, now that they're World Series champs for college baseball.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That is one of the best stories. Coastal Carolina University, Conway, South Carolina, are the 2016 College World Series champions, as they defeated the University of Arizona in Game 3 of a game that was held off because of rain, so the suspense was even more so, and it was a 4-3 victory. And I don't know if you got a chance to see any of the highlights or listen to the coach afterwards.
I did.
It was amazing, and I'm so happy for that school and that university
and those
players.
So my coach, obviously, or my former coach is there for the women's soccer program, so I feel like a little bit tied to it. I mean, for absolutely no reason other than that I played for Paul back in the day, but I feel so like that's the beauty of sports. That's when, you know, someone can, it's like the David and Goliath, right? You come in and you don't, like, anything can truly happen on game day. That's what I love about it. It's the best reality show on television. You can't write this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's so cool, yeah.
And as Howard Cosell used to say, that's why they play the game, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Like, if we knew that, you know, the best guy was going to win every time, it wouldn't be fun. This is why it's fun.
Yeah, and you know, it really brings into to light, you know, the same things almost has happened in basketball. But baseball, I mean, Coastal Carolina had the toughest bracket. They had Florida,
yep.
TCU, Texas Tech, and by just the stars aligning, this year's national champions in baseball are the Coastal Carolina. What's the pronunciation? Is it Chanticleers?
Oh.
Chanticleers?
Chanticleer. If I had my Facebook up, I could tell you because he even told us how to pronounce it. So when we were cheering for them, we would know how to say it.
Rooster, right? It's just a big chicken, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I this is all new to me. I was right along there with the rest of the nation learning about it, except for my coach that was tweeting about it and putting it on Facebook. But yeah, but I think it just goes to show. I was just having this conversation with a younger girl who had asked me for some advice on playing sports in college. She was thinking about going to like a Division III or a smaller school, you know, not something that wasn't so prominent on the sports radar. And I was telling her, there's so much talent, and there's such good programs that you don't even see that are outside of these like big powerhouses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just goes to prove that you don't have to go to Alabama or like the big guys to win a title. I love that.
Yeah, and if you're not convinced that hell is freezing over, we have world champions in the city of Cleveland.
Yeah, and then I just happened to notice too that the Cleveland Indians, and I always think of the those movies that where they were so like cursed and they couldn't win. I always think about the poor Cleveland Indians, but now they've won 13 in a row. They haven't lost since the Cavs won the championship.
I did not know that. That
yeah.
So Cleveland is drinking some of the good stuff because they're on fire right now.
I'm about to go to Cleveland just to like try to see if I can like get some of the good vibes on me, you know.
That's right. Rub some of the mojo on you there. No, you know, I was so. Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent about the NBA. I mean, I'm a Spurs fan. I live here and in San Antonio, and we've got a great team, and I do follow the team, but. It's such a long season that I start paying attention around playoff time. But as the playoffs unfolded, and especially when I flipped over on Game 7, and I was assuming I was going to see a 20-point lead by Golden State. And when it was about a 3-point game, I said, I'm going to stick around and watch this. And I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm kind of indifferent. I think he's probably one of the best players that's played the game, but he was possessed and he was driven. And I am so happy for the people of Cleveland, Ohio, and that entire area because they have been suffering for 52 years since they've had a championship in that city.
I think that was the number. Yeah, I know. I felt the same way. I don't really keep up with the NBA as much, just because it doesn't keep my interest as long throughout the regular season. But I was the same with you, expecting another kind of Steph Curry and Golden State runaway. But LeBron, I got to, when I was in business school, work at LeBron's camp in San Diego, his basketball camp for kids. And he was so young at the time, and you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of him coming out of it, actually. And as I've seen him grow and change and evolve, not only as a player but as a person, I've just really come to respect him. And I think like the way he's absolutely was possessed, like you said, and the way he's like worked so hard at his game, I think he's absolutely one of the best to play. And I was so happy for him, and you could see his genuine emotion. It was really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I again, the people of Cleveland, in watching the celebration and the ticker tape parade through the city, you could just see the joy of that. And I've gotten to experience that 5 times here in San Antonio, and for places that haven't been able to experience that in such a long time, and some people's entire lifetime, they haven't experienced that. I love those kind of stories. And so,
I don't want to like step out, but I've been to a couple of these ticker tape parades in different cities. I wasn't there for this one in Cleveland, but from all the videos I'm seeing, this seems to be one of the most impressive we've seen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The entire city, embraced it in probably that entire region and maybe even the entire state of Ohio. So it was a great experience for them, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the off season with the Cavs, because there's a lot of talk about a lot of changes, but we'll see what happens there. And I can't believe this, but looking at my sheet, we're staying in Cleveland, or kind of in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel.
Oh, I was thinking this might come out.
I'm going to just leave that open, and I'm going to let you give me your thoughts on Johnny Manziel. And just real quickly, Johnny Manziel's father called him a druggie and said the best place for him is in jail. He's either going to die or get help, and we can't chase him. Life goes on. My son's a druggie. There's nothing else to say about it. Wow. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. It breaks my heart. It makes me mad. I think they probably, I share the emotions as most people do. I was thinking today, I was trying to explain this to somebody who doesn't follow sports very much, and they were saying, yeah, I've heard of him. You know, it seems like he gets in trouble a lot. And I said, the best way I can explain it to you is if you put Johnny into a room and there was no phone, no one else, nothing in there, right? And he would still find a way to get into trouble. And I think that's just how he is right now. It's like he can't stay out of trouble. It always gets worse. There's no respect. It's like a runaway train. And I think we're all sitting here very concerned as to how this is going to end. It breaks my heart because I think he was a talented football player. And I think that, you know, he's just gone and thrown it all away. So I definitely believe in redemption and change and repentance, and I think that people can change, but unfortunately I think, as we all know, until someone's really ready to get the help and to make those changes, there's nothing anyone else can do. So I think we're going to have to kind of see what Johnny wants to do here, but I think a lot of people can sit back and laugh. You know, I know he's in Mexico right now posting some, you know, photos of him with illicit drugs, and it's comical to some people, but if we look at it, I think it's just really, really sad.
Yeah, I agree. And you see this in pop culture a lot. I know Amy Winehouse, it was the exact same story. You could interject her name or with his name or vice versa, and you see what's coming down the pike for this kid. And the thing is, he's a kid. He's 23 years old. 23. And to have all the money you want and to have all the access the ability to get into as much trouble with really, you know, when you've got Josh Gordon as your best friend, that might be a problem too. But it really is a sad situation, and hopefully somebody, whether it's an NFL legend, whether it's somebody that is close to him with his family, someone can help him, because I'm like you. I don't find it funny. And I do believe that people, especially a 23-year-old who really can be excellent and can be an elite athlete, I think you can, you know, I think those things transfer, and but you've got to want it. And right now, it doesn't seem like he's interested.
No, it doesn't seem. I mean, cause I think there's been this has been going on for so long now, right? I mean, I know it's kind of getting progressively worse, but so many of these NFL legends, people that are just so well respected and revered in the industry and the business, have been reaching out to him, and it's like nothing. No one's getting through to him. So, like you said, we hope that maybe one day he just wakes up and thinks, like, I can't do this anymore. But he's clearly still very much in the thick of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And wrapping up this multi-faceted topic list before we talk about the Sports Brat and what's going on at thesportsbrat.com, what are your thoughts on the upcoming Rio Olympics, and is anyone going to survive the Zika virus once they're down there?
You know, I love the Olympics. It's like, who doesn't love the Olympics, right? Like, I'm thinking, I actually just bought my first home, and I am thinking of having an Olympic-themed, a housewarming party, you know, like, have, like, things like that, just because, of course, I've got to bring it back to sports, right, even when I'm having a housewarming party. I love the Olympics, but I don't have my finger. I mean, seeing Michael Phelps qualify, I'm like, okay, like, we're getting there, but it hasn't felt like the buildup that I'm normally used to. Yeah. Like, I'm not getting marketed as much. I'm not, like, I'm not really feeling it as much. I'm like, what is it coming? Like, it feels like it's not going to happen. And then there's, I mean, I know it's going to happen, but it feels weird a little bit. Like, I'm not ready for it. So I think, and then you got the Zika virus, and I think the state of the world right now is scary for anybody. So I don't know what to expect from these games. I'm hoping that it can end up being awesome, Rio as a host, and just, you know, everyone going down there and showcasing the best athletes around the world, having competitions, break some records, you know, have some good sports. I'm hoping for just a good Olympic showing.
Yeah, I do too, and I think it'll happen. I know that there's always, you know, I remember when it was in Beijing, there were similar, there was the avian flu or the bird flu that was rocking that previous to people arriving, and that turned out great. I think everything will be fine in Rio. And some of the concerns there with the police and the ability to monitor some, you know, activities that may make it more dangerous for the spectators that are going to be visiting Rio de Janeiro and that entire area. But I think everything's going to work out fine. I'm excited that rugby is going to be a sport again in the Olympics. That is really cool. And I think part of the reason why the buildup's not there, and I know this is probably an old story, but I have never felt quite the same about the Olympics when they split it up. And so it rotates every 2 years. I loved when it was an Olympic year because you got the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics in 1 year. And it seemed like that entire year was a celebration of sports. And part of that has broken up. And I know that's been going on maybe, what, about 15 or 20 years. But I think it lost something. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just have never felt the same since they now have it in rotating years or every 2 years between the Winter and Summer Olympics.
Yeah, and I think also right with like the internet getting to where it is, we're so connected and able to watch international matches all the time now that maybe it doesn't feel as big of a deal, right? So like, we have the World Cup, we have these international, you know, we can watch the Premier League, you can watch rugby down in Australia, and you can kind of like tune in to all these different things that like 10, 15 years ago, it was a little bit harder to get access to those. So maybe we're just like not feeling, maybe it's like a product of our changing times where we're like, well, yeah, show us something different, right? Like, we're so used to seeing it, it doesn't seem as, and we have all these international players, okay? So there's like people coming over from different countries to play here in our major league, you know, it's kind of like, maybe we're just getting desensitized and we're being spoiled.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. We're here with Jess Saraceno. She is the sports brat. Now, did anybody ever call you the sports brat, or did you give yourself that name? Or I think we may have talked about that the first time you were on, but how did you actually get that moniker?
Yeah, I know. Well, I definitely get called that all the time now. I've personified that, and that is, there's no getting away from that. Even, I'm like, I said for like the rest of my life, like no matter what, people are going to be like, oh, the sports brat, like it just fits. I had this idea for so long to create the blog, and I just didn't know what to call it for, I mean, years, like from business school to when I actually, probably about 3 years, and to when I actually launched it. And I had this one name I was going with, and I was building it and like getting ready. And I was moving forward, and I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I was like, this is it, the sports brat, like that's it. So I changed everything right before then, and then kind of ran with it, and ever since I'm like, this has been awesome. So it's been a good fit because it definitely kind of captures that, the sports aspect, but then you know, the brat supposed to be like the fun kind of light, you know, more feminine and fun loving side of it.
Yeah, when someone goes over to sportsbrat.com, what can they expect to see?
It is a girl's guide to game day, is what I say. But really, it's kind of just anyone's guide to game day. It doesn't have to be for a girl. I just, I tend to have that California Valley girl voice on here, so that's who you sound like you're talking to. But it's basically a compilation of, you know, all things like how to enjoy a tailgate, what food to bring, what to eat. If you're in a new city visiting, you know, for an away game or something, you know, where should you go? And you know, what are the ins and outs of that stadium? I share my bucket list, you know, like major sporting events and arenas you should have, you know, should absolutely have to go to, like big matchups that you can't miss. I do a little 101 say you don't even know what a touchdown is, you can come here and I'll walk you through the ins and outs and kind of break it down for you so you can figure out a little bit about what's going on. I definitely cover fashion because that is a huge part. And I think we're seeing so many more emerging brands and people are, I can see in the industry, they're kind of catering as all these brands are launching that there is a market for, you know, actually kind of wearing really cute stuff and not just throwing on like the team, normal team shirt or a jersey anymore. And then those are kind of like the basics of what's on there.
Yeah, I visit that website quite often. I think it's a great website, and it's not just for women. It is so insightful, and you have such a great perspective on the world of sports, and I thoroughly enjoy it, and I think everybody here in the Tailgate Nation should stop by the sportsbrat.com or sportsbrat.com. You can still go from both locations, right?
Yeah, if you can't get those extra three letters in the in there, no problem. You can get there with Sports Brat. I get you. We're all busy. So.
Yeah, and you know, some of the folks in the Tailgate Nation don't want to punch in those extra three numbers. They've got our letters. They've got other things that are pressed. But no, it's a fantastic website. And how can they follow you on social media to find out what you're doing, where you're going to be? And I know you are all over the country. Catching some of the best in sports and other things. I know you're a big NASCAR person, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a big NASCAR person. I have so much fun at those races, so I try to get to them. Now, so I was actually just looking the other day about which one I can get to now that I'm down in, like, NASCAR country, right? Like, I'm in, like, the middle. I'm in it now. So, but football is my big thing. I think the Iron Bowl is happening this year, so I am so excited to take that in.
Yes, that is a blast, and it's typically the day after Thanksgiving, I think.
Yep.
And and be very neutral because I've been at that game, and you could end up with flat tires or a crowbar through your windshield. They are very passionate about football in the great state of Alabama.
And I do not have a dog in that fight. I am just going to see some good football. So hopefully we can kind of get in and get out and just enjoy the game. not get too involved.
It'll be great. It'll be great. And so they can catch you at thesportsbrat.com or sportsbrat.com. What about your Twitter or Facebook or where else can we find you?
It's all the Sports Brat. So everything's at the Sports Brat. Like no underscores, just normal the Sports Brat on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook.
Jess Saraceno, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope we get a chance, now that you are a fellow Texan, that we will get together somewhere, maybe have a nice margarita on the Riverwalk and talk about sports, and I can map you out a Friday Night Lights bucket list so that you can enjoy some high school football this fall.
I would love nothing more than that. That would be perfect. And I, you know, I've heard all about the Texan hospitality. So now that you've offered it and everyone's heard you offer it, I'm absolutely going to take you up on it and come down to San Antonio.
That would be a blast. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And Jess Saraceno, again, you can find her at thesportsbrat.com. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And you are welcome into Tailgate Radio Studios anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's Jess Saraceno. We will be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this.
In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility. All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgame Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.